section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
The best podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. On today's show, we have Aaron, Roger, and Doug to join Andrew as we discuss this month's view from the turnbuckle. So, Aaron, what is the biggest news so far?
Well, WWE really trimmed their roster. They lost quite a number of people. Some of the more notable ones, I would say, you have kind of the lower tier with Hornswoggle, Alex Riley, and Santino. But you had some of their, more popular wrestlers with King Barrett, Damien Sandow, your boy Brooklyn Brawler, Andy. And then most recently, we had Cody Rhodes and Adam Rose, who actually asked for their releases. So, Roger, I got to ask you, out of all of these, are there any ones that are shocking to you the most?
I think the only one that really is shocking in my probably Cody Rhodes, simply because, you know, he's Dusty's boy. I think a lot of us pegged him as a potential future world champion. You know, he's one of those guys that from the moment he debuted, you were like, oh, this guy is going to probably be a WWE guy as a lifer. The rest, I mean, I don't think most of them have been used in jobber roles or anything better for the last, you know, 2-3 years. So King Barrett maybe being the exception, but he won the King of the Ring tournament. So that meant his career was pretty much over. But yeah, I think Rhodes, especially if you've read the little interview that he gave, he really had some negative things to say about what WWE did with his character. So I'm a little surprised, but, you know, I guess I'm glad for him. You know, he's got other opportunities.
Yeah, and it's actually weird that they're, you know, like with the roster getting trimmed, there's no one I was like, oh, that's sucked besides Damian. So, I mean, I agree with you there. Brooklyn Brawler was a weird one. And we forgot about Christian as well. He was actually released as well from his wrestling contract.
He's still employed there, though.
He's still employed.
It's been 2 years, probably.
I think it's been longer than that. Has he wrestled since 27? Like that year?
I don't know. I think he has. I think that he had a couple of like small matches, but I mean, either way, you know, like he hasn't wrestled for a while.
5 years ago. Yeah. So it's been a long time.
Now, Doug, what about you? Were there any, like, obviously Cody Rhodes was a pretty big one. Is there anyone else that you were shocked about?
I was a little shocked about Alex Riley, actually. I mean, talk about a guy who's gone from probably being a high point of being on the pre-show for pay-per-views and everything, doing the announcing stuff, and then he tries to come back and get in the ring, and it never panned out in NXT and just went downhill from there. And so I was a little shocked that they didn't put him back on the announcer table, because I didn't think he did a bad job there. But, you know, and I still think he had a good run with The Miz as his lackey. And, you know, what, you could have tried it again after Mizdow and then had another spew between Mizdow and Riley, but other than that, there was really nothing left for him either.
Yeah, you know, other than Cody Rhodes and Riley, I would say that Sandow was not the most surprising one to me. That made total sense why they released him, but I was very surprised in how they had used him. You know, obviously he got way over with the Mizdow gimmick, and they decided to kind of end it very quickly because he actually was getting more over than The Miz. And The Miz, to his credit, I think is doing a fairly good job right now. But at the time, you know, you have The Miz and you have Mizdow. Mizdow is getting really high level cheers. And I felt like creative said, whoa, whoa, whoa. We do not want these people to get more over than what they currently are. So we need to squash this, you know, very similar to what they've done with Zack Ryder in the past. And I feel like they did that with Mizdow. I think that they took all his momentum and got rid of it and then cooled his jets as long as possible before letting him go. So that way he couldn't go to TNA and do that gimmick, you know, and get over that way. So I think for me, that was the one that really was shocking, how they used him and then let him go.
Okay, I guess the big question to me at least is, which one of these guys, of all of them that we have on our list, which ones are going to TNA and which ones are going to be kind of there?
Well, I would say, first off, of the people who are of really any value to TNA, there's probably only three at most. I think Cody Rhodes is probably you know, he's the high potential one here. You know, you could see him going into TNA and feuding with an EC3 or a Bennett, or, you know, he could be at the top of that card. He'd go to New Japan. I think Wade Barrett's probably got the next biggest potential because he has like a good past, you know, Nexus leader, NXT winner, former King of the Ring. So you could book him strong if you wanted to. Alex Riley, you know, he's a maybe. He's a decent talker. He's a decent worker. He's not that bad. I could see, you know, I don't think he's Ring of Honor material, but I could see TNA using him. The rest, I think Sandow should have been much better than he was, but they just didn't give him any chance to shine. And I don't know if he'd get over without that gimmick. I don't see any potential with Adam Rose. Obviously, Brawler's done. Santino's done. Hornswoggle is Hornswoggle. I mean, there's no value there. So hey, I think it's really Rose. Yeah, but I mean, he's not booked for like TNA stuff. I mean, he's going to be booked for indie promotions, and he's not going to go anywhere and be like, hey, wait for this guy to debut.
Indie sensation.
Yeah, what is Hornswoggle going by now? Isn't it something
Little Vince?
Little Swoggle, probably.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. But yeah, you know, these releases, they've been happening, but we haven't seen a major one until just now. And supposedly, by the end, basically sometime in the next few days, they could be releasing a lot more wrestlers. So this is going to be very interesting to see where they're going.
Are there any other wrestlers you could see them releasing, Andy?
Oh, man. You know, I thought about this for a while. I mean, Social Outcast, pretty much all those guys could be released. I don't.
Keith Slater is the next JTG. He's going to survive it all. He's like, why did I pick up my phone?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. You know, the sad thing is that wouldn't surprise me. But I think yeah, Curtis
Axel is stopping Bach. Mm-hmm. I think he's due to cut.
You think Zach is?
No, Curtis Axel. I think he's like I would say if you had to put money in the next release, he's probably going to be it.
I would say Ryback is next.
I already considered him gone. Oh, but yeah, Ryback would be next. Yeah, and Ryback, I think some of the ladies might get cut.
Ryback will last as long as his contract is.
Yeah. He won't be renewed.
Yeah, he'll probably go to TNA, but you know, hopefully they're still around by then.
Is El Torito still employed?
No, he got released.
He was somebody else that was released.
He was cut already.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say Axel's the top of my list.
So all the little people are gone, unfortunately. Yeah, there's going to be a woman that's going to get released. I think that's what the thing that we're missing is.
Eva Marie.
Oh gosh, you know what? We would have to, I'll just tell you now, we all have to call off work. We're going to come in, we're going to do a show, and talk about how happy we are that she's gone. Or if Roman Reigns gets hurt. Either way.
I would say, though, if she got hurt or was released, I would miss Corey Graves completely telling Tom Phillips to shut up, regardless of where he's at. That's like the best thing about Eva Marie.
I forgot about that. He's like, yeah, he keeps telling him, shut up, Todd. Oh, man, that's hilarious. Good stuff. Good stuff. But yeah, all these releases, like I said, it's really weird. I just want to see what the next round's going to be. And that's what something I will definitely look forward to. I just want to throw out one more thing. It wouldn't surprise me with Cody Rhodes if he shows up in TNA now. Even if he just shows up and that's it. Doesn't wrestle, just shows up and says, hey, what's up?
Well, he does have a 90-day no-compete that for the most part, the wrestlers actually do follow. And TNA has their next big pay-per-view coming in June, so he would miss that. You would want him to come in either at Bound for Glory or at a live show. You don't want to do a tape for that. I think that'd be a waste. So I can see Cody Rhodes going there. You know, I think that when with his gripes that he was airing, you know, he basically said, look, I wanted to wrestle and you guys weren't letting me wrestle. And I think it was almost very similar to CM Punk, but he just said it a little more eloquently than Punk did. So I could see him in TNA. I could also see him though probably going to New Japan. That'd be my guess.
Yeah, I agree on that. But overall, it's just been very, very sad. Let's just talk some things that happened in the WWE this month. So the New Day retained at Extreme Rules. They defeated the VOD Villains. Aaron, were you surprised that Kofi didn't wrestle?
A little, yeah. And when I saw Xavier in there, I actually got a little worried because I believe last time around it was Xavier and Big E that lost the titles with Xavier taking the pin. So it was kind of a surprise, but you
all know, three. Wasn't it at the Chamber match?
What is that where they lost? They might have lost it there.
So all three were in the match, okay. I think.
But you know, either way, I was getting a little worried, but you know, he got the win very decisively. I was really happy about that. But the one thing I am kind of curious about is, you know, who are they going to take on next? You know, they got attacked by the Social Outcasts on Raw, but You know, they're not a feud worth having. So, Doug, if you had to pick right now for Money in the Bank, who do you have New Day going against?
The Club. I mean, as much as there is not enough buildup yet for it, I want to see him versus the Club, because it just only makes sense that the Club beat the Usos. They should be the number one contenders. I mean, honestly, it'd be fresh. It'd be new. It'd be something good. And then you have a legitimate threat to someone taking the titles, I think, with the Club feuding against New Day.
I agree with Doug. I think it's the Club. I think they're the next big heel tag team. I've said this before. I don't think you want Enzo and Cass going against New Day, because I think you could kill either one of their popularity. You know, they're not over enough where I think you want to do two face tag teams yet. And the Club, you know, they need a feud like this. They need something to transition to. I don't want to see them feud with AJ. Like, I don't want to go that predictable route, even if it could mean AJ and Balor teaming up. The one thing I will say I really liked about the New Day match was when I saw Xavier, much like Aaron, I was like, oh, they're going to lose, because Woods always eats the pinfall. WrestleMania, he hit the pinfall. Chamber, he hit the pinfall. So the false finish they did, where they hit the Whirling Dervish, was beautiful, because it was Woods. It was a tag team finisher. I don't think anyone had kicked out NXT or WWE, something they smartly mentioned. So I was like, oh, he actually kicked out. Like, I was stunned. And then he actually got the win with the Shining Wizard, which I guess is his finisher. I've never seen him win a match. So, yeah, I mean, you know, good job, good false finish. Probably third best match of the night. Not that that was a high bar to clear, but still, this was an entertaining match. I will say Byron Saxton is so awful on commentary. I don't know if you guys noticed, but at one point, Woods did like the, you know, Hadouken, basically. And you hear Byron, he's downright fierce. I'm like, that's not even close to funny. Like, come on, dude. Just, and like, there's no way Vince is smart enough to know that pop culture reference. So did he just make that up on his own? Because like, even Cole and JBL didn't react. They just were like, what are you talking about?
I think Xavier probably told him before, hey, hey, you should use this line during the match.
And he's like, all right, I'll do it. But yeah, this was pretty entertaining. But
Andy, who do you have him go to?
I think you would have to have the Bullet Club, the Club. You'd have to do something with them, because I don't. But you'd have to introduce another member. That's the other thing. I think that you have Why to not? Have someone else.
I don't no, think you can do, no. You can do 2-on-3. It's totally fine.
I don't think so.
I don't know if they're going to go that route, though. I agree with you guys. I think that's the best route to go. But I think that the biggest problem that WWE is going to have is either one, they're going to go back to vaudevillains for whatever reason, or they're going to do something dumb and have a tag team just get thrown together and have them take them on at Money in the Bank. You know, they would do the equivalent of Big Show and Kane, you know, sort of thing. Like, they'd just be like, oh, we're going to throw these two together, their heels, go at it, sort of thing. I don't think they'll do it with the Social Outcasts. You know, maybe you have the Lucha Dragons come together and you do that type of a face versus face, where the Lucha is over with the kids, whereas New Day's over with the broader audience. And you could do that type of a face versus face thing. Because against Enzo and Cass, as Roger had said, I don't think you can do that, because they're both so over with all of the fans that you're going to, you know, it's going to be an issue with who you're cheering for, sort of thing. So, but, you know, they are on pace to be the longest reigning tag team. Doug, do you think that they're going to reach that?
I wouldn't be surprised, just because there is no competition for them right now, except for the Club. I do not see anybody on par or even close to having any kind of popularity or even just to transition. The only thing I could see is them trying to do the vaudevillains again, only because Kofi interfered in the match. But It's just, I don't know. I think they deserve it. They should get it. Why not? They've been over for so long. Let them have it.
Another thing, and I was thinking about this, I could see them doing something where they set up kind of a repeat of last year's SummerSlam when you do a four-way tag team. You know, if you had a feud with the Club, the Vaudevillains, Enzo and Cass in the New Day, that would be kind of a good spot to see, like, oh, the New Day won it last year by stealing a pinfall. Now you have the Vaudevillains or the Club steal the titles from them at SummerSlam by the pinfall. That accomplishes like a few things. It gets the titles off the New Day without them having to lose any heat. You now give Enzo and Cass a chance to take it. And that would, I think, it'd be a good match between those four teams. So, You know, I could see that being the SummerSlam build maybe for the summertime.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. We forgot about the Puerto Rican Sensations, the Rising Stars.
Much like the fans.
Oh, man. They're
Are they going to join the Social Outcasts in future endeavor?
Oh my gosh. Team Future Endeavors. That's what I want my tag team to be known as, or my group, yep, instead of the club.
So, Andy, the U.S. title.
Actually, Aaron, before we talk about the U.S. title, I have an idea, and I want to see what you guys think of it. So I'm waiting for Roger's reaction already. So what if Money in the Bank, you said that you have a Money in the Bank for the world heavyweight title and one for the tag team title and one for the women's title. Thoughts?
Not for the tag, because there's, I don't feel enough people for it. For the women's, I don't know. I don't really, I like the idea of only having the one. I think it makes it really special. I really don't like the idea for a tag or for US or IC, and for the women's. I don't know. I don't think I would like that necessarily. Maybe someone can convince me otherwise.
So in the current WWE, no, I don't think that's logical, because they're all in the same brand and all in the same show. So you want one Money in the Bank winner. However, if you did a brand split, I could see a well-built tag team Money in the Bank or a women's Money in the Bank. I don't know, though, if you have enough women to do a good ladder match. Because, I mean, really, there's only like five women I could think who I'd be interested in seeing in a ladder match, and it's the horsewomen and Asuka. So I don't know if you want to go there yet. I don't think the tag division is deep enough where you need to do Money in the Bank, because there's four to five tag teams right now. Kind of just let them fight it out. Down the road, if you had eight to nine tag teams, I could see Money in the Bank being necessary, but not right now.
And Doug, do you have any thoughts?
I'm not big into the women's in a ladder match yet. Until I see an actual women's ladder match, which I wouldn't mind seeing, just one-on-one. Let's see how that goes and gets over. Then build it up. And you know what? They have the women to actually break through and do quality matches now. So I wouldn't mind seeing it, but until I see the first one, I'm not going to hold any judgment until that.
So the U.S. title has had, we had a battle royal to determine the number one contender, which Rusev had won. And then he really kind of put a clinic on for Kalisto and Sin Cara, and really just started destroying them, getting back to his winning ways of a year and a half ago, where he was really being detrimental. I shouldn't say detrimental. He was demolishing the roster. And he had a match against Kalisto. He said he was going to make him humble, which I liked. And I mean, he wrenched him so far back. It looked really good. I actually liked the ending of it. I thought it was a very smart ending for that match. But Rusev defeated him. He won the U.S. title. Obviously, they're going to have a rematch. But who is the next person to challenge Rusev for the U.S. title?
John Cena sucks. Oh, sorry. I was just getting ready for it. But that's what's probably going to happen. We're going to repeat last year.
When is Cena scheduled to return? Is it by chance on Memorial Day?
Yes.
So Rusev, the big evil Bulgarian brute holding the United States Championship, could easily drop the title to John Cena on Memorial Day, and that's probably the route they're going to go. I do agree with Aaron, though. That match was really good. I actually liked the finish for a couple reasons. Not only did it look like a brutal submission, because Kalisto was pretty much stretched in half, but at first I almost thought Kalisto was going to reverse that into a pin, because Rusev wrenched so far back that I was like, oh, he's going to try to roll him up. And I was like, nope, he's stuck. It's over. Like, that was just, that was a good way to establish a dominant heel. And it's not like Kalisto looks worse for this. He got destroyed by the bigger man, and he held his own, but he got the crap kicked out of him, and he came in with an injured back. So good match. You know, hopefully Rusev doesn't drop the title to Cena, because I'd like to see him win the rematch and finally get a true win. But I think we kind of probably already knowing where this is going.
So, Doug, so you're in agreement. You think Cena's probably the next one?
I think Cena is the next one. I was trying to sit back and think of who could vie for it. You know, I just love all the contenders that are for the IC title. I would hate to tear away one of them just to give them a title. Not that any of them aren't deserving of it, but right now, I think you're going to probably give Rusev some throwaways. You know, give him like a Tyler Breeze, maybe even give him a
Jack Swagger.
Yeah, give him a Jack Swagger. Awesome. Give him people that, you know, he can defend the title successfully against. And, you know, Mark Henry, is he still there?
Yeah. Actually, even Apollo Crews, I think, could be a good match, you know, for him. Mm. Vince's wet dream right there.
Eventually. But, I mean, yeah, maybe I'm talking about a couple Raws in, and then you have Apollo Crews coming in. But we'll see where Apollo Crews ends up feuding with shortly, I believe. But
what title do you have being more prestigious right now, IC or US?
IC.
Okay. I would agree with that. Roger, you agree?
In WWE, the IC is always, in my opinion.
Always?
Always.
Even when John Cena held the US?
John Cena was prestigious. The title wasn't really. It was the prestige of beating John Cena was cool. The championship, the moment it left his hands, became irrelevant again. The IC title has a history in the WWE. The US title has a history in WCW and NWA. Doesn't really have that same prestige in the WWE to me. Like, how many US champions became heavyweight champions? Whereas I can name a litany of IC champions who went on to become, you know, superstars like Shawn and Bret. And like, so I think it's IC by far.
I think it depends, though, on the, you know, it's just like with the World Heavyweight title. You know, the World Heavyweight title, you think about after Triple H held it for so long, you know, he elevated that title. There were a few others that also made that title a little bit better than the WWE title. But then I forgot who it was. I think it's like really when Swagger. And even before that, there was a time where it was like, you know, which one's actually better, you know, sort of thing. And I think with the US and IC, I think it really depends on who is holding it. Right now, I would say the IC because of the type of feuds that they are having. Because that four-way was just, it was second best match of the year, in my opinion. Whereas the US title, that was good. But the feuds they've had for the last 3 months, you know, for the US title has been like non-existent, whereas the IC has been really good. And speaking of which, Doug, for the IC title, Miz retained, which you actually called. So kudos to you there. What was your thoughts on Miz retaining? Like, did you think just to further the storyline, you didn't think it was ready to go to somebody else yet?
Oh, no. A little bit had to do with the fact that I was the last one to pick that one, and I saw that everybody was on the Cesaro bandwagon or in the Cesaro section. So a little bit had to go to the fact that I just wanted to be different from everybody else. I usually predict my matches on how I believe WWE is going to really mess with me and give me the wrong pick. So Miz was the one I had to go with on that one. So, but also the fact that Money in the Bank is next pay-per-view. I didn't think you're going to have KO get the title. I don't think you're going to have Sami Zayn get the title because those are two good, legitimate contenders that should be feuding on. And I believe to continue on their storyline, Zayn or KO was going to cost the other one the title, and then they can continue their story online. So it really did come down between Cesaro and The Miz, and I just think that it was just one of those things that, you know what, they're going to let Miz run with this a little bit, at least for one more month. Cesaro also being another person I would really love to see in that Money in the Bank match.
Yeah, I do agree with this is one of those things where WWE will screw you over. And with the Miz winning, that's exactly my thoughts as well. Overall, I think I really liked the match. I'm just surprised because this was first, wasn't it? This is the first match of the night, Aaron?
No. Second, I believe.
Second. The 20th.
Yeah. The tag match was first.
Yeah, and it just seemed weird to me that this thing basically tore the house down, and then after that, it just went downhill. So,
but that was the thing. I had said when we were just chatting earlier. You know, to me, this is like a near perfect. Like for a four way dance, you know, four way match. This is like the equivalent of a 5-star in that, you know, with a 4-way, whereas like a normal, maybe like, you know, 4.5 or something like that. I really love the beats that they did. I thought it was really fantastic. And the rest of the matches, for the most part, were like a very regular, like mediocre. If it was a 2-hour Raw, this was a main event, you know, maybe not even a main event, the semi-main event match, you know, it was a 2-star match, a 2.5-star match. And, you know, this was kind of a throwaway pay-per-view, to be honest. I felt like it, you know, other than what we're going to talk about in a little bit, it not a whole lot else happened. And that kind of made the pay-per-view fall flat to me. If I'm thinking about the best pay-per-views of the year, this is going to be towards the bottom, you know, when you include WWE's main and then their NXT ones, this is going to be close to the bottom.
Yeah, and also remember NXT June 8th, if I'm correct, is their next show. So I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be nice.
I mean, I'd said before, I called this extreme rematch because most of the matches were either matches that were a rematch from Payback or, in the case of the Tornado match, like match number five between those two teams. So we've seen everything, you know, on this show. I liked the IC title match. I think, like all four of us, you know, it was a great match. And I actually think the right guy won, even though Miz is the least favorite of my four of those two. Because this is, I think this parallels the NXT storyline they had with Sammy trying to win the title. In the Fatal 4-Way match, he came close to winning it, but then the champion stole the title from him, or the win. And I think you can move on and have Miz, because Miz draws heat, like, no matter what, even though he's not necessarily, you know, Kevin Owens or Cesaro good in the ring, the guy gets heat. And if Sammy beats him for the title, or Cesaro, whoever it is, you know, it'll be, you know, a big moment, it'll be entertaining. I just, my only concern with this is that, and I've said this many times, you have too many pay-per-views. You don't need 12 to 13 WWE pay-per-views plus four NXT specials plus all the house show specials. This is the type of match that could have main evented just a good version of Raw, as opposed to main eventing or being a second match on a card or third or whatever it was on a pay-per-view that I won't remember except for this four-way. It's just too many throwaway pay-per-views.
I do want to mention that I do like how they booked this match and the fact that Cesaro took everybody's finisher, and it wasn't until he finally got the last one that he got pinned.
Yeah, they did some really good storytelling, I felt, with this match and you know, even with the Styles-Reigns match for half of it. But that, yeah, I agree with you, Doug. I think that that was a very smart move on their part.
Now, the one thing that I was shocked about is actually when I watched this, the Ambrose-Jericho match that they had, the Asylum that they had in the cage, which basically was a steel cage with, what, an extra, what, 4 feet of stuff in there on top of it.
As a TNA match, you know.
Yeah, pretty much. So, and yeah. Overall, I thought it was interesting until they got to the, well, the tax, and after that, it was, well, disturbing still, but... And that's actually like a take out from Abyss when he took all that.
I like the teases. I thought the teases were really good, but the match was way too long, in my opinion. It was like 26 minutes, and it, you know, you take 8 minutes off there, and it's a better match. But my question is, Ambrose and Jericho are now both in the Money in the Bank ladder match, which is a little surprising, you know, why they decided to have them do a qualifier, but against other people. I almost would have rather had them do a rematch for to be in the Money in the Bank match, you know, have that be their third and final match where they go up against each other, the winners in the Money in the Bank. But instead, they're going on to that now. But what are they doing after this? Because Jericho's not going to win Money in the Bank. I don't believe Ambrose has a very high chance. I think Ambrose has a chance, but it's not very high. I think it's going to go to somebody else. So, I mean, what are they going to do with Ambrose now? You know, he's got two wins over Jericho. Jericho's probably going to be gone, I would think, after Money in the Bank. Where do you have them split?
I will go ahead and say from my end of the year predictions from December, I believe I called it Ambrose will win Money in the Bank this year. And I'm going to stick with that. And the fact that Ambrose will win Money in the Bank, especially now that you still have Reigns with the championship. And I can see some things developing late in the year in a, let's say, a trifecta match.
Are you talking about like a 3-0 with Ambrose, Rollins, and Reigns?
Yeah.
The Shield triple threat. Yeah, the match that was probably going to be the main event of this year's Mania.
Yep.
I assume that's what Doug's alluding to.
Yes. I don't know if we were getting to Rollins yet or not, but yes, that is what I am alluding to.
I'm a little confused about how they've been booking Ambrose, to be quite honest, since he split away from Reigns. Because he went from being, you know, kind of his own lunatic babyface right when they did the split to being Roman's sidekick to now being a mid-carder. I mean, he beat Jericho twice, and who doesn't beat Jericho who's not named AJ Styles? You know, and it's the same problem I've had before is that Ambrose hasn't beat anybody in the 2.5 years I think he's been a single star now. He has no quality wins. He has one win over, you know, he has wins over IC guys, Owens, and Ambrose. He didn't even beat Bray Wyatt, and everybody beat Bray Wyatt. So, you know, unless he wins Money in the Bank, and Doug is right, I think he ends up stuck in some icy U.S., you know, throwaway match. I don't think he is a priority for the WWE. I'll say that.
What about him versus Rusev for the U.S. title?
Could you see that? And like, you know, two pay-per-views.
Yeah.
SummerSlam.
But that's a throwaway match to me. I just don't think the U.S. title is something that a guy who is competing to be in the main event of WrestleMania at Fastlane and Roadblock should be going for the U.S. title right now. Like, to me, if you thought he is your top three babyface, then he should be booked in important feuds all the time, whether it's with top heels or going for the championship or, you know, something that, you know, the Lesnar feud, whatever. But with Ambrose, he just looks like he's kind of floating. And, you know, Jericho isn't going to win Money in the Bank. He's not young. He's not going to win the championship probably ever again. So I think you're right. They should have done a qualifier. That cage match last night, I think, sucked. Like, I was bored. I was legitimately bored. I mean, what did you say, 26 minutes? I would have cut that in half in 13 minutes, and I still would have been bored. Like, there's nothing about that match was like, wow, that's fun. It's just the mop. It was funny, but it was kind of stupid funny. And to me, this is supposed to be a blood feud. This is supposed to be angry. Why are you doing comedy spots? The tacks were cool. It was cool when Foley did it 15 years ago. And when Abyss does it, I don't even know, because who watches TNA? But I just, I don't know. It was lackluster, and I don't want to see them wrestle anymore. You know, move on, be done with it.
Yeah, I definitely think it's time that, you know, it's over with. So, you know, we'll just see where each one goes from here. AJ Styles, though, he lost to Roman Reigns. And Aaron, I have a problem with this, because how many times did he hit him with a chair, and how many Styles clashes did he take? And then Roman Reigns still won. I'm just curious. Do you know off the top of your head?
So, exception to the rule being Shawn Taker at 25. I really dislike finisher spams. I really don't like it when people just, you know, they do finisher, 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 and then they kick out. And finisher, 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 kick out. I really, really dislike that, especially with the younger guys, because I feel that they haven't earned that in the same way that Taker and Shawn did at 25. And here we had, you know, Reigns, he, you know, speared him a couple times on the outside and threw him into the tables and stuff. And then the Usos did their double super kick and then their, you know, frog splash finisher. And he kicked out. And to be honest, I actually did not like that spot. I think it would have been way better to have Anderson or Gallows, you know, just barely pull Reigns off. You know, I would have much rather seen that. And then at the end to see AJ Styles, you know, do the Styles Clash, which is his finisher, his number one finisher, hit Reigns with 10 chair shots, and then do another Styles Clash onto a chair, and then have the Uso pull him out for 2 seconds. Not even like he pulled him out and then, like, you know, disrupted him, and then Styles barely gets back in to get the pin, in which case I go, all right, I can kind of see that. But you're telling me that, you know, Styles, or that Reigns is able to kick out of that after, you know, double finishers and 10 chair shots? Like, you are now setting this person up to be the ultra crazy end boss that is better than Brock Lesnar. You know, like, this is now, he is higher than Shao Kahn, you know, and Brock Lesnar has been demoted to Shang Tsung. All right. That we're doing Mortal Kombat references right now. Okay. That is what happened to, you know, in this instance. And I really hated that. Like, the match itself was okay, but that part of it really took away for me. So I apologize for the rant, but that it really perturbed me. So, Andy, it sounds obviously like you are in a similar boat.
Yeah. So you're a little passionate about this, I take it.
Look, I'm not saying AJ should have won. I'm not saying that at all. In fact, I think that having AJ lose is okay, especially with Rollins coming back. You know, storytelling wise, that's fine for me. But don't have AJ lose after, you know, doing a couple of finishers and all those chair shots. I think that it makes him look weak. And if you look at his streak as of late, he lost cleanly to Jericho and Roman Reigns twice. I mean, I guess you can call it clean. It was Extreme Rules match. You know, he lost twice. He lost to Kevin Owens on Raw this past week. I don't know. Like, it makes me wonder what type of stock they have invested in him. They paid him all this money. He's obviously really big in Japan. I'm not saying you have him win the title, but, you know, have him be a main event player and have him get big wins, you know?
Well, that's my problem, though, because they're going to Japan, and you would think that, hey, we're going to bring, of course, Finn. We're going to bring Asuka. We're going to bring Kenta. You're going to bring those guys over there because they're huge over there. I don't understand why you don't give it to AJ Styles, because they hear the WWE champion and former IWGP champion. That's a big selling point. I think more people would actually come to the shows. Granted, okay, we can't just give it to him after Roman Reigns, you know, got it, but still. At least he won't get booed. The people from Japan, that would be the first time they boo a wrestler. They're like, boo, even, you know, from there. But
well, Doug, what are your thoughts? Because you obviously were able to see it. What did you think about the finale there?
I got to see the finale. I haven't actually watched the full match of it yet. And I mean, I think I got to that point of, I mean, we all knew that Reigns was going to win. And I think that's the thing that kills. I mean, the whole match, you knew he was going to win. It killed it. It killed it right away. And I think after I watched the Styles Clash onto the chair and that kick out, I was at the point of, you know what, just, you know, hashtag cancel the network. I was done. I probably would have given up Raw. I would have given up, you know, the rest of the month until Money in the Bank. I wouldn't have cared about any build up to it. The only saving grace was the surprise finish and the return of Seth Rollins at the end, and the huge pop that everybody was giving him, because that was the only thing that really surprised me. Is you hear the crowd cheering, and I was like, "What are you talking about? Reigns is in the middle of that's why." And I was pleasantly surprised. I'm now willing to give it at least a little bit more before I cancel it, but they're getting on the verge of it, and they better just make the IC title the main event and lower the WWE title to the opener or even the pre-show match, because at this point it's pathetic. The matches are pathetic. They're so predictable. It's not even funny. Just, I don't care to see it.
Well, that was your weekly smark out moment from Aaron, Doug, and Andy. All right, I'm gonna play a little devil's advocate here, mostly because it's partially my opinion. To answer Aaron's point, you mentioned Brock Lesnar, and this is a big part of this. When Brock beat Undertaker, he set himself up as the end game boss, right? And he beat the Undertaker with 3 F5s. Fast forward a year, and Brock Lesnar beat or could not put away Roman Reigns with 3 F5s. At the moment in which they established that Reigns could stand toe-to-toe with Lesnar, who was the alpha dog of the WWE, it is logical that AJ Styles, a relative rookie, could not put him away with 2 Styles Clashes, a move that Jericho's already kicked out himself, and a bunch of chair shots. So that part didn't bother me. I'm like, eh, you know, AJ Styles, I love AJ, great wrestler. He is not on the Brock Lesnar level, and Brock couldn't finish Reigns. So AJ shouldn't have been able to finish Reigns. My biggest problem with this match was that AJ really shouldn't have been in the title match in the first place. You had him lose to Jericho at WrestleMania. You did not establish him as a main event guy until you had him win a random fatal four-way match. The first defenses in a new guy's reign are pretty much a guaranteed victory. Why did you have AJ in throwaway matches? You could have had Triple H rematches. You could have had Rusev matches, Sheamus matches. You had other guys to throw away his first couple months until Rollins returned, because Seth is the first guy that we think could beat Roman. AJ had a 0% chance of winning this match. So that's my only real problem with it. Two, I don't like, Doug, I know we don't like Roman. The match, if you take away the dislike, was not a bad match. The match was enjoyable. It had plenty of good spots. I don't think it was a 5-star match like maybe the Fatal 4-Way was, but this was not Hunter Roman. This was not Orton Hunter. It was an okay match. It just, Roman is what he is, and he's a striker, and he's going to do, you know, 3 or 4 moves and make you go, that's cool, and a bunch of punches. But they are building him as the guy. The guy should not lose to AJ Styles in month number 2 of your reign. You would never book Austin like that. You would never book Rock like that. You would never book Brock like that. So if you book Roman like that, you're stupid. Like, I don't like Roman, but that was the right move. I just wish it wasn't over AJ. Instead, this was Sheamus.
I would agree that AJ should not have been in the match. I think that you should build AJ up slower, you know, and more methodically. Have a feud with Sheamus, build him up that way. You know, have a feud with Rusev even, you know, like build him up until like, hey, guess what? I beat all these other guys. I'm a now credible contender. And so I do agree with you there. But I want to say, though, that Roman Reigns, though, the type of buildup that they have been doing with him, I think is a disservice. Because, you know, normally we were supposed to, I guess, go into the what we might do with AJ. Let's set that aside, because you know what? Like, we probably will need another hour for what they should do with AJ. But for Roman Reigns, I think that this is a huge disservice, because Stone Cold Steve Austin did not kick out. I don't know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Stone Cold did not kick out of two finishers and chair shots, like, you know, within the span of 2 minutes, you know?
You want to watch 17?
Yeah.
Trust me. Nope. The Rock was Superman. Austin, remember the end of that match? Stunner. Stunner. Chair shot, chair shot, chair shot, kick out, chair shot, kick out. Stunner, chair shot, chair shot, chair shot, chair shot, chair shot. Hit him with 13 chair shots before he pinned him.
So, other than 17, then?
I mean, there have been other, but I mean, again, you're treating him as if he is supposed to be the next big thing.
Well, I think that they're not treating him like he's the next big thing. I think that currently they're treating him like he is, like, he's God right now. And that's not Roman hate. That's not me hating on Roman. Trust me, I can do a lot of hate on Roman. But looking at this objectively, if I'm thinking, all right, we got this guy who is, you know, he's kind of 50-50 with the audience, you know, that's being very loose with that terminology. But some of the audience likes him, some of the audience hates him. We are now going to make him, though, the most powerful person in the entire organization. Because the problem that I see with that is, who can then take him down? Who can take him down and then become, and then is that person that powerful too? So let's just say he's taking on Rollins right now at Money in the Bank. Rollins is probably not going to win. I don't believe that he will. But let's say Rollins does win. What does he got to do? He's got to do 2-3 pedigrees in order to beat Reigns now. And then you have to think, okay, if you ever want to beat Roman Reigns, how many finishers do you have to do? And then you kind of devalue the finisher, I feel. And I feel that you devalue what a chair shot actually is, and making them all powerful. I mean, that's back in the 80s stuff, in my opinion. I think that that's very Hogan-esque with what they've done with Roman Reigns. And fans are grown up now. I don't think that that's something that we want necessarily. You have a...
I mean, I see your point, right? But for one, I think a lot of... And I'm not a big Roman fan, but I think he was a victim of wrong place, wrong time. He just happened to get pushed during the kind of revolt. We finally got sick and tired of the WWE, and we wanted the guys we wanted. We wanted Bryan. You know, if Reigns got his push instead of Miz, let's say at 27, and obviously the timeline doesn't work, we wouldn't be as angry at him. It was just the fact that instead of getting to see Daniel Bryan in the Rumble, we watched Roman, and so he's been hated ever since then. We kind of knew he was the guy. You know, go back in time, and, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin didn't get beat with a finisher. You did not hit him with one choke slam and beat him. And when The Rock was the guy, you pretty much had to kill him. You know, I've seen many of his matches with Hunter where he kicked out of the pedigree, and the pedigree buried everyone except for The Rock and Austin. How many finishers has The Undertaker kicked out of WrestleMania? Has anyone ever beat Undertaker with one finisher? Ever?
Maybe Hogan.
You know, I don't even know if Hogan's ever beat Undertaker. I think Taker's actually beaten him twice for the title. You know, Hogan didn't lose to one finisher. He kicked out a Warriors thing at 3.1. So all of the top guys, I've been pretty accustomed to kicking out of finishers. And as much as I liked the Styles Clash, who has it beat in the WWE? Like I said, Jericho kicked out of it. Jericho is a mid-carder at this point in his career, and he couldn't put Jericho away with it. This is not kicking out of the curb stomp. This is not kicking out of the punt, you know, like the RKO. How many times has Cena kicked out of those finishers? I mean, John Cena is the perfect example of he kicks out of everything. No one has put him away with one of anything. So I'm not surprised that if you're saying Cena establishes at this level of, you know, it one finisher isn't going to be enough. If you have Roman lose at one finisher, what have you said about Reigns? You know, he shouldn't be losing if he is really the top guy to probably anything less than two solid finishers, or like one of those finishers of death, right? A jumping tombstone, a punt, you know, a curb stomp onto a chair, like something ridiculous. But you know, what move, and this is for all three of you, what move did AJ do that really should have been a match ender? The Styles Clash onto the chair? Maybe, but he got pulled out. And that was basically, what, a 4 or 5 second count? That's not unreasonable to say he kicked out at 4.5. That's not burying the Styles Clash. The forearm doesn't ever hit. He just loses when he goes for that nowadays. I mean, he's lost, what, 3 straight pay-per-view matches going for the forearm? That tells me you need to stop doing it. And AJ didn't even go after, which is weird. And that was another thing I was going to bring up. Roman hurt his leg midway through the match. I never saw a calf killer attempt. Where did that go? Why did they have a storytelling where his leg was hurt but never set that up? So I don't know. I'm not bothered by that. Like, top guy, like Seth Rollins. I guarantee you Seth Rollins will not go down to one Superman punch. And he's 190? How big's Roman? 240? 250? Should he reasonably go down to one pedigree? Like, honestly, if we're being honest here, should he go down to one finisher? Because, I mean, if you do that, then you have to scale that back for everyone now. Now everyone, and I'm not necessarily against that, but that means that needs to be a company-wide initiative where one finisher can beat anyone, as opposed to one finisher nowadays, especially 10 minutes into a match, probably shouldn't put you away, I think.
No, I think it should be a work of the whole match should be working towards kind of that Bret Hart setup, the seven moves of doom. You had to do them in an order because that means you wore that person down so that your finisher can be that's it, the finisher. And to your point, Roger, I have no problem with the guy kicking out of a finisher and whatnot. I just have problem with Roman Reigns being the guy. Because he still can't do a promo. He still can't. I mean, besides counting the number of clotheslines, and I will say, from what I did get to see of the match, I was very surprised with Reigns actually doing a sit-out powerbomb. I think that was the only other move that I saw him do besides clothesline.
He just learned that, too. He went to the Performance Center and spent all week trying to get it. He actually injured.
I'm sure credit, though. That was crucifix sit-out bomb. Like, oh, yeah. Solid.
Oh yeah, I completely agree with that. I mean, he has evolved as a Pokemon. He has learned new moves. We'll just
well played.
Yeah, well thank played. You. Yeah, just I mean I can't get behind Roman Reigns being the guy and that quick push that he got just up to the top with nobody wanting him to be there. And the problem I have too is just looking at the future. KO does great matches. Sami Zayn does great matches. Cesaro does great matches. And here are people I believe that are going to be passed up for the title because we have to support Roman.
And Andy, what do you think?
Yeah, because if we have to have basically, you know, guys like Cesaro, the workers, Zayn, Owen, Styles, I mean, all those guys who are workers, if we have to sit back and actually let, because Reigns, you know, stinks, you have to lose to him, you know, so he looks powerful, blah, blah, blah. Maybe you'll eventually get a title shot. That's what I think they're really saying to everyone. But overall, I just don't care about him. I mean, he could go away, he could get hurt, and he could be gone for a few months. I'd be like, wow, this product's really great. Then when he returns, I'd be like, oh, that's why it was great. But yeah, so this will be awesome. I just can't wait to see, someone get their the butts kicked.
Let me ask you guys one more question before we completely move away from this topic. If we replaced Roman with Kevin Owens, do we have any problem with the way these matches were booked?
I do.
So this isn't just a Roman.
No, thing. So here's my thing. As I had said, I was okay with Roman winning against AJ. I agreed with your point about how AJ should not have necessarily been the number one contender, though. But I in my opinion, I think Kevin Owens or even Daniel Bryan, like, in my opinion, doing your finisher, and I get it, like, you know, Jericho is obviously kicked out at Mania. He beat Jericho in the number one contenders match with it. But, you know, for the most part, it's been kind of a more of a transitional, very second tier move. And the calf crusher, the phenomenal forearm have been his finishers. But I think that if you do your secondary finisher move twice and within a very short span of each other, you do one onto a chair and you do 10 chair shots to him. Like, I mean, he went just crazy with that. I mean, he bashed him. If Kevin Owens kicked out of that, I'd be like, what are you doing? You know, and I, as I had said, AJ Styles kicking out of the finishers as well, I did not like, because I think that, and I get it. It's like, oh, hey, AJ, he's actually a really good wrestler and he's got heart and all that stuff. But no, I don't think that's where you have him. You know, I really don't. I don't know. Doug, do you agree with that?
I'm trying to think and I'm trying to be partial, and it's just my hate of Roman has grown to too much that I don't think I can can do that, and it is sad, and I wish I could, but I agree that AJ should not have been in that match. If you're gonna fast track somebody to a title match, and I think you can do that with AJ because he is well known in the indies and New Japan. I mean, that's what New Japan did. His first match in New Japan Wrestling was for the title, and he won. And he had a great run as a title, and even after he lost, he was still up there for it. I honestly think you might have severely hurt AJ Styles' career in WWE by fast-tracking him against somebody that we're just going to hand the reins to, literally, and just it saddens me to a point where I really just don't care about the WWE title at all.
Wow. That's a big deal. So looking ahead with the Money in the Bank match, we have Sammy, Cesaro, Jericho, Ambrose, Kevin Owens, and some other guys as well. Are there any favorites, Roger?
I guess Kevin Owens would probably be my first favorite. I mean, Money in the Bank seems more situated for a heel to use anyway, so I kind of lower all the face odds just in general. You know, it's the Seth Rollins type cash-in is your ideal scenario where you interrupt the match. I don't see Sammy being a world champion yet. I mean, I don't think he's AJ Styles level yet. And if AJ didn't win it, I don't see Sammy winning it. We know Cesaro's not going to win it. As much as we love Cesaro, he's, you know, not connecting with the crowd. Jericho's a mid-carder. I don't know what Ambrose could win. I agree with Doug. It's not unrealistic to see Ambrose winning Money in the Bank, Rollins stealing the title or winning the Rumble, and Reigns being the champion at Mania still. And then who are the other guys? You know, maybe AJ sneaks in. I'm trying Sheamus, to. I don't see a repeat.
Del Rio, even like.
Yeah. But neither one of those guys are championship material to me right now. Like Sheamus got his stupid little run last year. I don't see Del Rio winning it. I don't think he'd give it to Miz again. You know, maybe it, one of those weird debuts, the NXT call ups. Maybe you have a Nakamura come up or a Joe or a Balor, however you want to do it. But I think Kevin Owens and Ambrose are, you know, one and two, and I don't see anybody else, based on the roster we know now, winning it yet.
Percentage-wise, you have Kevin Owens one, Ambrose two. What percentage do you give KO to win? Like a 50 and then Ambrose a 40?
Is an 8-man match? No. 7-man match? I would say I probably... Maybe. We got 5 listed now. I would say I probably, yeah, about Kevin Owens is about 50% because, you know, the field, you know, still should probably get 50% themselves. But out of that other 50%, 40% of that goes to Ambrose because I don't really see, unless the other two are, you know, Finn Balor or Samoa Joe, like big name guys who you think plans are for, I think you've already got the two guys most likely to win.
I was actually just thinking that Finn Balor could be one of the guys that actually gets into the Money in the Bank. They could do something where, I don't know, like the following night they tape for the 15th for that episode of NXT. It wouldn't be surprising they have something, a qualifying match where you get to be in the Money in the Bank and then have Finn win it. And then he can come out and do his thing, but then not have him win because the crowd will be over for it. I bet they're going to give it to someone that we don't want. It wouldn't surprise me if it goes to Jericho. It just would not surprise me. I know
that. Really? That wouldn't surprise you?
No, because Doug made it very obvious. He said that basically you look at what you want to happen and then how they could screw you over. That is how they could screw you over, is if they gave it to Jericho.
I don't think WWE internet fans hate Jericho enough that they would look at that as a screw over. It's not like I wouldn't be disappointed with a YTJ title reign. I just don't think it's going to happen. Like, if he started coming out in his suit and talking, you know, down to the crowd as with the Money in the Bank, I'd be okay with that. I mean, I don't think that's a bad thing. I do agree with you. I think they usually pick the weirdest route possible to get to the end, but Jericho wouldn't surprise you as a win?
It wouldn't at this point. I think the one thing that would surprise me is if Sami Zayn won. That would be the only way I'd be surprised if he won. I really think that they're going to try and push to Kevin Owens, but right now, we only know of, basically, we have one heel and then one tweener, and the rest are faces in this match. So you have to have some heels in
this.
Well,
no, you got Jericho and KO are clear heels, and then Ambrose, Cesaro, and Sammy are clear faces. So, you know, you can maybe argue Ambrose being slight tweener, but Andy, percentage-wise, give me a couple of edges, like, you know, between like KO, Jericho, Ambrose.
I say Kevin Owens is probably closer to 60% chance of winning. And then I think, you know, besides, I think Zayn and also Ambrose are, well, I'd say at least Sammy is at least a 5%. And I'm actually probably being generous, it's more like negative one. Then it just goes from there. Ambrose would be the next one, and I would give him actually like a 30% chance. And then the field is after that. Just dish it out. One here.
And actually, I would agree with you about KO being about 60, and I would say Ambrose probably about 30, and then, you know, it'd go to the rest. Doug, how about you? What are your thoughts? You said, obviously, Ambrose is your favorite. KO is your second?
Who I would want to win would be KO, just because I think he could do a phenomenal job with the briefcase itself. I'm going to go ahead and put, though, Ambrose is at 60% for me, 20% for KO, and I want to put 10% for the field, and I want to say another 10% for somebody we don't know who's in the match yet. So, like, if they ever do, like, somehow AJ gets into the match somehow, I would put him at an additional 10% as a possibility.
To go on Doug's point, in my dream world, who I would actually have win Money in the Bank is Seth Rollins. I would have him be your mystery entrant. He steals the briefcase and imagine the main event, where now he doesn't have to try to win. All he has to do is hurt Roman. Like, I think you would have a much more interesting night of, like, what is Rollins going to do? Does he attack him backstage? Does he pay somebody off to jump Roman? Does he ambush him in the entranceway? And you can have him try all these different things, and some of them work, some of them don't work. You know, maybe he gets disqualified with a chair and just tries to curb stomp him. Because I think the Money in the Bank needs to lose a couple times. Like, I think it can't be an automatic title shot. And I think only Cena's lost. I think stand out. So out of like the 12, it's basically guaranteed a win. I think Rollins is the guy who can take a loss and it won't be that bad. And just imagine, and it, you know, it's a way to make Roman look strong. But if, you know, Rollins intentionally got himself disqualified, so it wasn't like that he got beat twice, and then he went for the curb stomp after cashing in and got speared, you know, he would beat him and it'd be like, oh, you know, what a way for Roman to overcome the odds. But I think that is the best way to do it. And then we don't have to deal with Money in the Bank all year, because I think we need a break from that.
So do you think whoever wins should cash in that night?
If it's, you know, if it's Rollins or Ambrose, yes. If it's Owens, or, you know, in some weird world where Sami Zayn is protected, Sami Zayn, I think you need to build them. Like, I would love Owens to take the title shot at SummerSlam, because I think that's their second biggest pay-per-view, and that's kind of the one you really look forward to besides Mania. The rest of them need to be, you know, I don't want them to be the Miz. I don't want them to be mid-carders who stole the championship and look like a joke. If you're going to build Cesaro or Sammy or AJ or any of those guys, give them 5 to 6 months, and not where they just lose all the time and are on the pre-show. Have them win matches. Have people challenge them for the briefcase. Let them build themselves up to a threat. So when they beat Roman, it's like, wow, this guy belongs in the main event and isn't just a fluke champion. If it's Ambrose or Rollins, they should cash in that night, because now you've got a storyline going forward.
What if they, whoever had it, just throwing it out there, what if they had something where it was a no DQ match, and then the, like, say Owens has the briefcase, he runs down there and just beats the crap out of both guys with chairs, puts them through tables, just goes off on them, and then cashes in? Would that be the one thing where you're like, wow, that's it.
Seth Rollins story.
Yeah, it's very similar to Rollins, you know.
Well, no, I mean, but Rollins he didn't come down and beat them up and then cash in. That's what I'm talking about. Is then you go down there, you beat them with chairs over and over again, each guy. And then you pin one of them, 1, 2, 3. So it's, you know, it turns into a three-way, but if it's a no DQ, you can go in there and beat the crap out of them beforehand.
Yeah, so, no, I get what you're saying. But yeah, it'd be very similar to kind of what Rollins did. You know, or even if it's not even a no DQ. Let's say it's a, you know, one-on-one, and it's Rollins versus Reigns, and KO comes down there with a chair and he beats the crap out of Reigns. And then, you know, Rollins is like, what are you doing? And he hits Rollins with the chair. And then he goes, oh, I'm cashing in my contract. This match is done. You know, I'm cashing in my contract right now. You know, totally KO move. I mean, that is the type of move that he would do. So,
and that's a good Bullet Club storyline. If you want to turn Finn heel, which I don't think you need to, but if you wanted to have the Bullet Club make an impact, you have them come down during Rollins versus Reigns, and they just kick the crap out of those two Nexus style. They destroy them. They put them through tables. They hammer them with chairs. Finn Balor says, I'm cashing in. And he just, you know, he throws the very popular Rollins out of the ring, hits him with the coup de grace and hit, you know, pins Roman Reigns. Now you've got the Bullet Club or the club established as, you know, a big time heel faction.
But he has to do it at least four times because, you know, he'll kick out of the first two.
Well,
even onto
so
a chair,
you know, he'll do the Cena kick out, right?
Yeah, the Cena kick out. Okay. But yeah, so anyways, so let's thank our sponsor. Are you a blogger or podcaster? Or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code off the mark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to say big on items from WWEShop.com. Aaron, so you and Roger went to NXT when it was in Seattle. So how was it?
First time NXT was in Seattle, and it was really cool to see them live. I will say the venue is not the type of venue that probably should host a wrestling event. It was like being at a theater. We were at a theater. And where the performance was, which was a raised stage, that's where the ring was. So, and there were a few people that were up there. It was very interesting, to say the least, because we were sitting there like, oh, well, we're literally looking up at these people. I can't even imagine the people in the back, how terrible their seats were. You know, we tried to get ringside tickets, but unfortunately they were sold out so quickly. But I liked going to the live event, but because we just came from WrestleMania and NXT, it was a little bit of a letdown for me. A little bit. It wasn't bad, but it was a little bit of a letdown. How about for you, Roger? What did you think?
I mean, I had different expectations, right? TakeOver was like my WrestleMania. This was Nakamura versus Zayn. This was Joe versus Balor. So I think the match of the night was the tag match. I think that was better than their TakeOver match and better than their Access match.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that match was amazing. I was more interested kind of in the things that we weren't expecting. Like, Mojo Rawley's not over. Like, I don't like Mojo Rawley, but I figured he was over with casuals. He's not over. Like, the amount of Austin Aries, we're not hyped, chants, or please stop dancing. I mean, it was just, you know, you can tell the crowd does not approve of his stupid gimmick. Ty Dillinger, however, despite not appearing, is very over. Those 10 chants. If NXT had a TV title, he is the perfect TV champion. Finn Balor and Joe was fun. That was a bit of a letdown, but you know, it's a house show. They just did a title change. They have another match in the cage. We just saw TakeOver. That was what I expected it to be. I think the match that actually disappointed me the most was Asuka versus Nia Jax. Mm-hmm. They don't work well together. Asuka's offense is very aggressive, and she requires an opponent who sells a lot. And because Jax is kind of an awesome Kong-type monster, it just came off flat. You know, it was a lot of kicks to the leg and just stuff that I was like, meh. You know, Asuka Bayley worked because Bayley can get thrown around like a rag doll. Asuka can sell, and she's not bad at it, but you like her matches because of what she does on offense, not necessarily what she does on defense. What about you?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with everything that you said there. And for me to clarify, it was the it was like watching the Fatal 4-Way at Extreme Rules and then seeing Jericho Ambrose. You know, it was the you see NXT TakeOver Dallas, and you're not expecting much, but it's that like, yeah, but we just came off this like amazing steak, and now you're giving me a hamburger, you know, which I like hamburgers, you know, and if you had the hamburger first, I would have been even happier, you know, sort of thing. I'm trying to use a good analogy, Andy. But NXT TakeOver, or I'm sorry, NXT house show here in Seattle, I was very happy to see them come out. I was happy to see the amount of fans that we had out here. It's obviously nowhere near a Chicago level by any means. But it's, I think, getting a little smarky. There were a lot of really great chants that people had. It was something that I really liked. Nakamura was way over. He was, I actually think he probably had the biggest, just people, you know, cheering for him. Not just the biggest pop, but the biggest reaction, I think, is what Nakamura had. I think. Maybe Bayley.
Active wrestlers?
of active wrestling.
Okay, because
obviously, I'm sorry, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, I was gonna say because whenever he was mentioned or appeared, yeah. I mean, it was
the yes chance. I mean, it was crazy, and I, you know, I didn't do the yes chance, and neither did you. But that's just because he's not there. Like, if Daniel Bryan was there, like I'm doing them. I'm making sure he's hearing me. But like, it's a video of him. I'm sorry, but like, he's not coming back to wrestle. You know, it's not me like putting my stamp on like, oh, I want them to know that we do like Daniel Bryan. They know. Whereas like a Ty Dillinger is a little different.
You know? And plus, it kind of stings a little bit. Like, yeah. You know, I know Daniel's gone. Like you said, he's not coming back. Another thing that I want to point out, and we talked about this a couple times, is that when you looked at the shirts, you know, 3 years ago, it was pretty much unspeakable to think that you would have male fans wearing female shirts. You know, no one's going to be walking around wearing the Bella Twins or Paige or AJ Lee shirt. You know, it's like, come on, like no one's wearing the Diva shirts. However, I saw plenty of guys wearing Sasha Banks gear, Bayley gear, Asuka gear, and who's Charlotte? I mean, you know, so, you know, there's been a big change from these are not just eye candy anymore. And that's a great thing. You know, like we said this at WrestleMania, these are women wrestlers now, and they have gotten the respect from the crowd. You know, Bayley massively over, you know, besides Nakamura, I think she probably got the biggest pop of the night. Asuka's popular, you know, even though the match was a bit of a letdown, she's still fun to watch. You know, that you can, I think you can kind of tell popularity of superstars based on how much merch they have and how many people come out to see them. And, you know, the people like seeing the women. One of my favorite moments of the match, or the night, I should say, there was a match between two guys who, you know, one was a former football player, like Sabby Piscatelli or something like that, and Trevor Knight. And one of them was, I think it was like, Let's Go Sabby or something that sounded close enough to Cena that people heard it. And go, Let's Go Sabby, and then immediately went, Cena sucks. And I heard that, and I was like, oh, all right, we're just going to go into Cena sucks chance. He had nothing to do with the match. He hadn't been referenced, but just because we had the opportunity to chant Cena sucks, and it lasted a good, you know, maybe 30 seconds, that was just fun. It was just fun to, you know, chanting Cena sucks, regardless of whether he's there or not. It's just entertaining. I could do that all.
Did you guys get the too sweet in there?
I kept doing it, and then it got to the point, I think after the second match I was doing it, and like, I'm looking around, well, because there was like 3-2 counts in a row, and I was like, damn it, I can't do this because, you know, I'm looking kind of douchey at that point, you know, and so I'm like, I'm going to do it just once per match then, you know, that's all I'm going to do, but I did try it for the first two matches.
Did you didn't stand work. Up and say, sweet?
I will not go, two, sweet.
You, did you
the girl next to me, actually, she thought it was really funny. Like, she I don't know.
Did you stay?
It did not get over as the end result. Yeah.
Did not get over.
There was a couple chants. No Way Jose, surprisingly over. Didn't expect that.
No.
I don't know if this is a Fandango situation where, you know, his music is catchy and he's got the chants. He was getting a lot of what I'd call kind of like pirated chants. You know, the Ole chants from Sammy or the Bayley chants, and they were just using his name. But whatever. The crowd reacts to him. He's energetic. You know, him and Fandango will make a good tag team. And I said this from the beginning, right? They're that kind of comedy jobber dancing around. And, you know, that's a good kickoff match and you let powerful heels squash them. Anytime NXT comes out, I'm definitely going to go. Just because, you know, and I said this before and I'll say it again, this is wrestling. This is not sports entertainment. And that's what I appreciate about it. We got, I think, 7 matches. And besides, you know, I don't count the Trevor Knight, you know, Sabby match because that was two guys who are, you know, on the lower, like they're performance center guys. Besides the Nia Asuka match, all those matches were pretty entertaining.
Yeah, they were solid. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it was two and a half hours of solid entertainment. Chanting Ty Dillinger's chant, regardless, anytime I get a chance to chant, it's just fun. It's crazy that they didn't have him show up. Austin Aries wrestled, if I'm correct.
Yeah, he took on Mojo.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, that was so fun to... they actually switched, and we mentioned this, they called an audible. I think Aries was going to work heel. But when Mojo came out, he was so not over with what he was doing, because you could kind of see the look on Aries' face. They switched it and started having Mojo work more heel because he started working a slower pace. He started doing like the dancing as like a taunt. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they kind of had to call an audible because he's not over. Who else did we get to see? Oh, Doug's girl was there. The lovely Alexa Bliss. We got to she has some work to do. She's got the interaction with the crowd down. You know, she's very good at reacting to chants. There's a couple spots she did not time it very well, mm-hmm. and I'll put that generously.
Yep.
And, you know, American Alpha and the Revival, I don't think you need to say anything else about them. Those two might be the best tag team chemistry of any tag team on any part of the roster.
And I'll say this about those two as well. That was the third match we've seen of them live. Third match that we've seen of them and in a span of about a month, right? A month and a half. And to me, I like Gallows and Anderson and the Usos, whatever. But like to the amount of times we saw them after the first time, I was like, all right, I don't need to see that again, you know? And even this last match, which was pretty good, I was like, I really never want to see them wrestle again. Whereas these guys, we're going to see them go for a fourth time, probably fourth and final, I would think. And it will be a very good match. And it might be as good as what we had seen most recently. Who knows? But either way, like those guys have that type of chemistry that you like seeing them wrestle. It's like a Zayn and a Owens, you know, almost in a way. And they know each other. And that type of a wrestling match, that actually, to be honest, that probably should have been the main event. Like that to me was the match that stole the show.
Yeah.
But either way, NXT house show, really cool to see. I highly recommend you guys see one if you can, you know, and especially get as close as possible. They interact with the fans. It's not even crazy. Bayley was hugging everybody she could. You know, it was kind of cool. You know, it was really cool to see, though, the interaction that everybody had. So
Tom Phillips also pretty good at his job. I give him credit. He's good at hyping the crowd. He comes off as a little corny by design. But he's not Michael Cole or Byron Saxton bad by any means. They acknowledge, because it's not TV, they acknowledge everything. So the Too Sweet chants. Mm-hmm. I think they even acknowledge some other companies.
I think they said Bullet Club.
I think they did say Bullet Club, which was like, oh, that's interesting. They didn't say TNA, of course, but I think they said, you know, they talked about Japan and things like that. So, you know, it's a fun wrestling show. You know, if you're a wrestling fan, wherever you're at, I would go to any TNA. I would go to TNA Portland. If we had the opportunity to do so, or not TNA, NXT Portland.
I was going
to
say, like, I mean, I would go
to TNA Portland, actually. We've gone, yeah.
Not TNA Portland. I would go to
TNA. TNA Kent. Yeah. But yeah, no, I would go absolutely again without question. It's just, it's a fun experience and it's totally worth it.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad you guys had a great time. It sounds like a lot of fun. I think if they come towards Illinois, I think Doug and I will have to go hit that one up. Definitely. But yeah, so. That's all the time we have for this month's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, Roger Cave, and Doug Hahn, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.